This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, happy Friday, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Let's get our heads right on a Friday. Great to be here with you. It has been a long week. For me, at least. Padres won a bunch of games. I mean, it's been a great week for the pods, but it's just been a long-ass week. Ready to get it going today on a Friday. We got 4 hours left for you. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Rindo, the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Good morning.
Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, master debater himself. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. Last show of the first half of 2024.
Last show. Hold on, let it sink in. Last show of the first half of 2024. We are at the halfway. We're halfway home?
Correct. June is the sixth month, and then this is our last show in June, because today is Friday, June 28th, which makes Monday, when we're back, July 1st, the beginning of the second half of 2024.
Never even thought about it that way.
Have you started your Christmas shopping yet?
No. Have you guys started your birthday shopping for me? A few more shopping days.
More of a last minute guy.
You're going to give me some Ben and Woods golf balls from our golf tournament. I'll take them. I like them. Oh, They're great balls.
Venmo, $49. I don't have any extra ones. I wish I did.
Oh, you don't?
No.
Oh. Sucks to suck. I got like
imagine not grabbing a couple boxes.
I was out stuck at the glory hole all day while you were sitting there with all the golf balls, apparently.
Now, when you were interning for Hacksaw, is that a line that you thought that you would deliver on the radio
one
day? I was stuck at the glory hole all day
long.
And I could not. I never got a chance.
All day long.
I never had a chance to get away. Well, I said I was stuck at the glory hole all day. I couldn't leave.
The workplace regulations surrounding the glory hole are surprisingly strict.
Oh, massively strict.
You don't get breaks. You know, you think, oh, every 2 hours you get 15-minute break or something. And I did not get a 15-minute break at all.
You must have been exhausted. I don't know that anybody's ever worked a glory hole for 10 hours straight? Really? I mean, you are a marvel, my friend. Sweet Ben is like, I just wanted to talk NBA, and the next thing you know, I'm working at a glory hole for a golf tournament on a Wednesday, and it's the end of the world over here. Well, listen, how about I bring you some balls, because we do have some left over.
Then it feels like my birthday.
Yeah.
My birthday is not until November, so. Oh. But now I have to actually get you a present, unless I give those back to you.
Well, I didn't get you. I forgot your birthday. So if you want to forget my birthday this year,
that would be the best birthday present you could ever give me, is allowing me to forget your birthday.
So then that would mean, since I forgot your birthday, I think I did. Did we end up getting him something for his birthday or no? I feel like we did, because we both forgot.
I think you did after the fact.
Yeah. So if I give you... If I let you forget my birthday, then I don't have to get you anything for your birthday in November?
Correct.
But I
will make that deal right now.
But I already have huge ideas for your birthday in November, since I forgot it last year.
Yeah.
My wife's like that. They're like thinking all year of like present ideas that they can give to someone months and months from now. My brain does not work that way. I start trying to think of gift ideas and my brain melts. It just never. I just sit there and I think and I go, "That's dumb. That's dumb. I wouldn't want that."
The chat reminds us that we gave him cash on the air. I think I gave him a 20.
I gave like $40.
We hugged him.
Oh, that was such a It was such an awful, awful day for me and Pauly. It really was. And you know, I think if you've listened to morning radio long enough, you probably have heard stuff on other stations where you went, come on, that didn't happen. That didn't happen. You guys are embellishing a story. On the eyes of my children, on the eyes of my children, we forgot. I had no earthly idea that it was Ben Higgins' birthday that November. And I will never forget when he looked at me and said, I've got something in the next segment.
His teasing, yeah.
His tease. He goes, I've got something in the next segment. I said, oh, good.
Because I've been waiting 2.5 hours.
2.5 hours. And he said, it's a little uncomfortable. And I'm really not sure how to address it. And I'm like, what is this?
He's gold, gold mine. I don't know what he said in particular that like triggered something in my brain. But we went to break, played Kelly Danick's traffic report, and then Ben had a live read. And it was during the live read that I looked up, and I go, what's his birthday? Because I did know it was around November.
Yeah.
And I saw that it was that day, and I called you over.
Yeah, my heart.
Ben's talking
sank.
On the air, talking about, you know, the farmer's dog. And I'm like, is it his birthday? And we just both went, oh, my effing.
I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. Well, mine's coming up. It's July 19th, so you better not forget. And I guess I can't really let you off the hook because of what I have planned for you. I'll tell you right now, Adam's not going to like it. He's not going to like what goes down here. You probably won't like it either, but it's going to be your fun day. It's on a Friday, but no, my birthday's on a Friday. Your birthday is what, Ben? November?
I think it's also on a Friday.
Is it?
I think we have the same birthday of the weekday every single year.
No, yours is?
Mine is, oh no, it's a Sunday.
Sunday.
This year. Sunday. We won't be here.
What's the date of it?
November 3rd?
3rd.
Yeah.
That's fine. November 1st is when we celebrate your birthday. On the air. Okay.
Do we have enough money in the show fund to send Adam on vacation that day, maybe?
No. If we have money in the show fund, I'm certainly not spending it on
Adam. We just
need
to make sure he's not listening.
It's Friday. Adam doesn't. They don't come in on Fridays.
That's true.
They don't come in on Mondays. They're here Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It's quite a life they lead, upper management here at Odyssey. It's really, really something. But no. So yeah, mine's on July 19th, Ben, for you to remember. And yeah, it was fun. It's going to be a fun one.
More worried about your birthday, though.
Why is that?
Well, now I've got to think of something.
Yeah, you do.
And my mind is completely blank, and as it usually is
panicked.
When it comes to gift ideas.
You get panicked. I'm trying to think of things
I want.
Ben,
best gift idea for anybody in this room is always something we can use on the air for content or anything like that.
Like a gift card.
Nope.
No, that doesn't do anything for anybody.
Nothing for the audience. Nothing.
Lowe's Home Improvement gift card. You always like to fix up your house.
You know me. Constantly hauling lumber and whatnot and getting new saws and stuff. Drills. I love drills. The more home improvement gear I can get, the better, I'd say. It will go add to my stack of home improvement gear that's in my garage that has barely been opened. Hannah gives me home improvement stuff like most Christmases. A screwdriver set. Fantastic. I'll maybe use it once. Maybe. And the things that I use it for are like, oh, the kid's got one of those toys that have screws in the back that I have to open. And that's really it. I don't put anything together. I don't take anything apart. But yeah, so it's going to be a really fun show today. We have a really, really good show planned. Going to be an interesting show to be sure. I guess I'll just ask the question. Did you guys watch the debates last night?
I mean, we aired them on Channel 10.
Yeah, so you had
to. As most news stations did. So it was on in the newsroom as I was working last night. I can't say that I really paid much attention.
The only thing I wanted to say about it was that I watched it for 5 minutes. Five. And then I put on Silence of the Lambs. And it was on. And it just started. And I was more...
And you found your candidate.
I was more comforted. I was more comforted by Silence of the Lambs than I was the debate. Yeah. And, of course, I followed along on Twitter. Now, again, the debates, that's what Twitter was made for. I laughed my ass off. You laugh to keep from crying, but I laughed my ass off at some of the stuff I saw on Twitter last night. I mean, people came to play last night, and it was funny as hell.
I watched maybe 30 minutes. My wife was like, I want no part of this, so I was watching on my headphones. And I did come back, and I go, Megan, if you watch it as a comedy show...
If you watch it as Saturday Night Live, it's one of the best things you'll ever see.
It's outstanding comedy.
It really was.
It was... concerning to say the
least.
Well,
I don't.
I feel like I should just suck it up and just do it.
What?
Be president.
I agree. I couldn't agree more.
I've been saying this for 6 years.
I don't want to, but I feel like I'll do a good job. So if everyone agrees, why don't we just skip the election? I'll serve the next 4 years. Still going to do this show. I'll bring the equipment with me to the White House.
Okay. So from the Oval
from the Oval Office.
So I'll just set out with a 9 to 1 Eastern every day.
Can you imagine?
You know, these
Mr. President, we don't
time.
Have time. To
me this. Time. No meetings. Nothing. I'm doing the show from 9 to 1. The rest of the time, I'm used to staying up pretty late, and I'll just get the rest of the work done, and we'll just do it.
Do you think? Now I know you have. You have too many morals and scruples to be president, in my opinion, of this country. Do you have the killer instinct, or do you feel like you'd get pushed around by foreign powers? Because I do. I absolutely do. By the way, I feel like I would too. This isn't a shot at you. I feel like we'd be a terrible combo in there. Whatever you guys want to do is fine. I'm just trying to get out of this meeting. Can we please get out of this meeting? That's what I want. We have a round of golf we want to play today. We have access now to the greatest courses, and I'd like to go play there.
I feel like the president of the United States, you guys love the round table once a week for
an
hour.
That's all it is round table.
I think
the whole thing.
Your whole day is round tables.
The worst thing ever.
But there's no pizza, I'm pretty
sure. There's no pizza. Nah, man, I did it.
Anthony says, Colonel Budget running the country. I will definitely stick to the budget, for
sure. You will. You would. No, I don't. I try not to let myself get too bogged down into it emotionally anymore because it really sucks my energy out. And I watched that last night, and I think sad was the way that I felt. And I just said, I'm done. And I put on Silence of the Lambs, and I go, ooh, I haven't seen this from the beginning in a long time. And it's just, it remains a fantastic, fascinating movie. Both my kids walked in when Clarice goes to meet, what's his name? Hannibal the Cannibal. When she the first time, and they both were like looking at the screen, and when the camera pans up and he's just staring at you, they go, "All right, see you later," and they just walked out of the room. They were scared to death. So, that's what I did instead. I watched that, and then I watched some of The Bear to calm me down. And it's an anxiety-ridden show, but it calmed me down.
I wasn't in a good mind space to start it yesterday, season 3.
Yeah,
I said, you know what? I'm going to wait till the weekend. And just binge that mother.
I've gotten to the point where I'm now saving it because I don't want to watch it because if I watch it, then it'll be over.
The Bear?
And there won't be another season for like a year.
So the
longer I can wait before starting it, I can still look forward to it.
Somebody wrote last night after the debate said, whew, watching Uncut Gems to relax after that. I don't know if you've seen that movie, Ben. But
that's
like,
the Adam Sandler
game. Yes, and it's
movie,
like somebody jammed speed in your vein. The whole movie, you're biting your nails, you're rocking back and forth. You're like, oh my God, this is terrible. So, that's what we did. We have Major Garrett coming on at 6:35. And, you know, lest you think this is going to be some, it just worked out this way. I mean, really, we weren't, hey, Major, come on after the debate. I don't want to talk debate with Major Garrett. I'm sure he's over talking about it too. I want to talk San Diego Padres midway point of the season with Major Garrett.
Well, look. He works for CBS News. He works in Washington, D.C. It's an election year. Yesterday was the first presidential debate.
And hopefully last of all time.
Probably not. His schedule is about to get insane over the next, 4 months?
Yep.
So we said, you know what? Let's catch up with him now.
I really didn't mean to do it after the debate.
I think we're his outlet, though. We're his chance to get away from things as well.
We haven't talked to him since, like, opening day.
Yeah, I think we usually do this right at the beginning of the season, middle of the season, and then kind of an end of the season sort of wrap up with Major. So this will be the middle of the season. You know, take the temperature of how he's feeling and how we're all feeling about the San Diego Padres. They're just past their halfway point of the season. They're currently 3 games above .500. They are currently in the second wild card spot after the St. Louis Cardinals lost yesterday. And, on pace to finish with a winning record and, you know, about 85, 86 wins, which is what we said it was going to take to
get there,
get to the playoffs at the end of the season. Now, of course, next week it'll feel completely different because we know how this works. But at the moment, they're right where we want them to be.
Well, our hope is that next week won't feel completely different.
That would be the hope.
That's the hope, you know. And
so far, those hopes have been dashed constantly this season.
Yeah, there's no question. There's no question. Well, listen, going to be a fun one today. Ben will set the menu for us next. Thank you guys for being here. We love you very much. We don't I don't care what side of the road politically that you're on. I really don't. Just love each other.
I think we're all on the sad side of the road.
Be friendly with each other.
We can finally agree on something in this country.
Yeah, it's just,
that was horrible last night.
That was terrible. It was terrible. It really was bad.
Megan was like, why are you putting yourself through that? I'm like, well, one of these guys is going to rule the world next year, so I guess I might as well tune in. But
like I said, Silence of the Lambs, more comforting. She great big fat person. That was more comforting to me. The thought of a woman thrown down into a hole so that he could take her skin off. I was like, now that's what I'm talking about tonight.
Nice, easy viewing.
Let's check traffic. Hopefully it won't be anywhere near as bad as yesterday's traffic. And we will get going
here
on
Friday. Are you Frederica Brimmel?
On San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's also an election year for us. Have you forgotten?
I have not forgotten.
When is our debate?
Somebody suggested, you guys should do an election on the show. Like
we did.
Another show did. And I'm like, we did that last time.
We did. I've been the president now, and my term is coming to an end.
We'll do it again.
At the end of the year.
I'm the Secretary of Homeland Exploration.
I think I'm going to take that that moniker this year.
Stealing my job this year.
Yeah, I have several vacations left. Vacation Woods is rearing his ugly head. This year, so I don't know how much I'll be able to be locked into the job as president. But unless you mind your president being on vacation all the time, and sometimes we don't. It's happened before.
I mean, everybody gets to have a vacation every once in a while. I have no problem with that.
So, yeah, it's when you got the kids and it's summer, you have to do more things in summer than you did when they were little babies, right? Like you have to plan more stuff and go on more things. So I'll be trying to get out of a lot of work using these kids to go on vacation.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. All right, here's what we got coming up on the show today. As you already mentioned, looking forward to Major Garrett checking in here at the bottom of the hour. In fact, we're going to get to that in about 6 or 7 minutes so we can let him get on with his day. But we'll talk some Padres baseball with the CBS News chief Washington correspondent and good friend of the program. That is coming up at the bottom of the hour. I do feel like there is a discussion about the second round of the NBA draft and Bronny James yesterday. That was the biggest story in the sports world.
Some of the pearl clutching I saw yesterday about the 55th pick in the draft was unbelievable. Unbelievable. Clutching of the pearls from guys like Bomani Jones. Oh, my God. Bomani Jones went nuts.
Really?
Yeah, on Twitter yesterday. Went nuts. Mm. You know, Clay Travis went insane about somebody with more skills and blah, 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 blah. They've just cost themselves. Yeah, we went.
I see that their point.
That's fine. It's easy at its core. But we went and looked up what the 55th.
Jaden Ledea is a better basketball player, a better pro-ready basketball player than Bronny James.
Correct. But no other teams wanted Jaden Ledea either.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Had plenty of opportunities to be drafted.
He's just the only name I could think of that didn't get drafted.
I went and did the research on the best 55th pick in NBA history. These names are not going to blow your hair back, everybody. Bomani Jones, Clay Travis, just relax.
It's like Sean wrote into us a few minutes ago. He's like, you know, you guys are missing the point here. The big story is the Lakers. They wasted a top pick.
They didn't.
No, they didn't.
That's not a top pick.
I think more people are mad because they feel like it's the player who's running the team,
sure,
and not the team that's making their own choices.
Yes. Now, if I was an attorney and the evidence, and I had the evidence in front of me, I'd say, all right, we have a new head coach. He has never coached anything above elementary school. He's also your podcast partner. All right, we hired him. So that's one. Your Honor, submit this for evidence. Number two, we drafted your son, who averaged 4 points a game and one rebound in his 1 year of college. And we took him with the 55th pick. Your Honor, I rest my case. Now, I understand that narrative as well. But again, when you're talking about the 55th pick in the draft, You're putting Bronny James up against names like Mark Blunt, Mark Lavaroni, Kenny Gattison, Etuan Moore, and Patty Mills, who's probably the best of the bunch. He scored about 8,000 points. He's got 15 years under his belt. That's a good pick.
Yeah.
But that's one in how many? I mean, how many drafts have there been? So I think people want to get up in arms because, well, it's something to talk about, and it's LeBron James. And coming from me, do not like the Lakers at all, I couldn't care less. And by the way,
it's fascinating. There's aspects of it, like Rich Paul calling the other teams and saying, hey, if you draft Bronny, he's going to go play in Australia. He's not going to play for you.
I love my son. I would love to do a show with him one day or have him on our adult bowl. I'm hanging on until he turns 18 so I can play a tournament with him. You know, I love that. I think that's great. So I have no problem with it at all. Do what you got to do. And if you hate the Lakers, this is a good thing for you. You love this. You love this. Right. You're like, oh, cool. You know, it definitely got the headlines yesterday for sure.
Well, yeah, biggest pick of the draft is rarely one of the final picks.
Right.
And that ended up being obviously the most talked about pick of the entire draft. So I do have some thoughts. We will keep them to a minimum, of course. In our 7 o'clock hour, take on Woods, don't do this. We're going to look ahead to this Padres-Boston Red Sox series. And then second half of the show, of course, it's Friday, which means it's a Cespedes Family Barbecue Friday. Jordan Schusterman going to be with us at 8 o'clock, presented by Grand Ole Barbecue. We'll talk about what's going on in the game of baseball. Rhino Report at 8:30, and then 9 o'clock. Yeah, we'll let him come in, and we'll just tip our cap to the San Diego Padres and Mike Shildt after probably the best week of the season. He can come in and he can feel pretty good about what the Padres have done over the last 7 days or so. And we'll chat with Mike Shildt from Boston this morning as he gets ready for a road trip and see if the Padres can carry over some of that momentum from these last two series into games against the Red Sox and the defending World Series champion Texas Rangers.
I'm going to be honest with all of you guys. I've been thinking since yesterday when I got out of here. I'm like, we got Shildt on tomorrow. What can I say to get under his skin? I've got some ideas. We'll flesh them out.
What's up, my dude? How
you
doing?
We're good, bud. How are you? He's going to get pissy for some reason. It's usually me.
Yeah.
Yeah. and I want to ask, like, I need to think of something to needle him a little bit.
Well, I mean, we got to talk about the ejection.
Oh, yeah, that was awesome.
Not throwing Mackenzie Gore out of the game. And everything that's gone on in the last few days.
I mean, that's all good stuff. He crushed, for as much grief as he got about the John Boy ejection, he crushed this ejection, I thought.
All right, let's take a quick time out because I want to get to Major Garrett coming up next and get him on the air, get him talking some Padres baseball because I always enjoy his perspective. We'll do that when we come back on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Welcome back, Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. I don't know where Benjamin is. He's maybe on the toilet or something. I have no idea, but let's get traffic, and then we'll get right to...
What is happening?
I have no idea. We'll get right to our pal Major Garrett, CBS News Chief White House Correspondent, next on 97.3 The Fan. All right, and joining us now, live from D.C., our pal, one of the biggest, if not the biggest, Padre fan we know, Major Garrett. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning. How is everybody?
Man, we are good. We are good. Just, needed the night off last night. It's been a whirlwind around Petco Park the last few weeks.
I'm just laughing. You guys had a night off. I didn't have a night off.
No, last night was not a night off for you. I told the guys earlier, I said, I watched 5 minutes and then I went and I watched Silence of the Lambs and felt, I felt a little bit better about the future of our country.
Exactly. Or Full Metal Jacket or something.
Yeah, Full Metal Jacket, exactly. Exactly. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. You know, look, I think, probably where a lot of your audience is. I'm excited about where this team is. I mean, if you'd asked me at the beginning of the season, you don't have Darvish for most of the first half, you don't have Musgrove, you don't have Bogarts, and you've got 44 wins, same as the Braves, only two teams have more wins than the Padres, the Phillies, and the Dodgers, would you take that?
Yeah.
And I would say yes.
Good perspective.
Not to mention, dramatically better performance with runners in scoring position, dramatically better performance in close games, dramatically better performance in extra inning games, leading the major leagues in bunt base hits, not a statistic we typically celebrate, but one that's important about how you put pressure on another team. I like where we are. I really do.
Good morning, Major. It is good to talk to you as always. My question to you is, has Mike Shildt been what you've expected he was going to be as the Padres manager?
Better.
Okay.
Better. I fully expected that he would be rigorous on preparation process and team unity. And he has been. What I have been very surprised on the upside with is not only his ability to put that in the clubhouse, translate that from the clubhouse to the field, and then talk to the Padre public about why it's working and not to freak out when you feel like freaking out because all of us are traumatized by the memories of last year. I know Bob Melvin is a very respected and accomplished manager. I don't want to take anything away from him, but Shildt has a more positive and more direct explanation for what he's doing, why he believes it will work, and why he's not going to be deterred. And for a fan base, I think that's super important. It's not only important for the fan base, it's important for the players to know that the manager has their back and will talk to the public about what's going on in a way that supports them, reinforces them, and is credible. And I think Shildt's very good at all those things.
You know, and it's funny, talking to Major Garrett here, I try. We have him on every Friday. And I try to get him to say, I'm not asking him to be negative or throw one of his guys under the bus. But I will try to get him to say just, yeah, we could improve in that area. He won't do it.
And anything critical.
Anything critical. I do understand the reasoning behind it. And I think Padre fans, a lot of them do as well. You've seen this clubhouse, you know, splinter the last couple of seasons. You've seen, you know, the everything fall apart and they go off a cliff. I kind of understand the reasoning of nope, not going to do it. I'm going to pat these guys on the butt. I'm going to pat them on the back, especially in public. We don't know what's going on behind closed doors. Certainly, we're not privy to that, and he's not going to share it, and Manny won't share it, and Jerkson won't share it. They're really tight-lipped this year. That's one thing I have noticed. You're not hearing any whispers coming out of this guy's mad at this guy. I find that it's quite the opposite.
Quite the opposite, but I thought Jurickson Profar gave a very important interview to Kevin Acey last week before the Padres got on their good run. And he said the team needs to play better. The team needs to have more leadership and execute better and win winnable games. Profar said that as an emerging team leader. He wouldn't have said it if he didn't believe that Manny would back him up on that, and Mike Shildt was okay with that. It's better when the players give that kind of interview, particularly an all-star caliber player, as Jurickson Profar undoubtedly is this season. Having him say it and having no one in the clubhouse refute it or talk behind his back or anyone go to Shildt and say, what do you think about that? It all felt consistent, even though it was, at the margins, critical of how the Padres came off that road trip, deservedly so. That's another dynamic that I think is important and reinforces that this team, for whatever set of reasons, and a lot of it comes to the manager, a lot of it flows to the players, is a much more coherent unit, much more collaborative unit. And look, success reinforces that. You get walk-off wins, you suddenly feel things are possible. You watch other teams walk you off, you start wondering if anything is possible. We've turned the corner on that.
Major, we also all tended to agree that Manny had a big leadership moment when he stepped in with Jurickson, you know, behind home plate with Keibert Ruiz. And I don't know if there's any talk of the other side of this. People are curious, you know, in Washington, D.C., you've got a bunch of things going on, probably other than listening to sports talk radio or commentary on what happened this week. But it felt like a perhaps at least a defining moment for this clubhouse and for Manny Machado in particular as well. What happened against the Washington Nationals earlier this week?
So Nats fans, and I sort of dip in and out of that world. I'm a nominal Nats fan because my kids grew up here in D.C. and I freed them. I said, you have a hometown team. It's a great thing in life is to be able to root for your hometown baseball team. I'm raising you as Padre fans. I'm now releasing you. We didn't have a ceremony, but I kind of communicated that to them, you know. So I dip in and out of the Nats. Nats fans are not big on Keibert Ruiz. They don't think he's a strong defensive catcher. Offensively, he's kind of a wash. And they thought he stepped way out of his lane. And I, for one, do not understand how an umpire in the major leagues can watch a player touch another player at home plate and not throw him out immediately. You cannot do that under any circumstance. You cannot take your mask off, get another player's face, and start poking him in the chest. Why is he still in the game?
Yeah.
And that's why Manny came up, because he saw Jurickson was doing the thing he told everyone afterwards. I'm not going to get thrown out of this game. I'm not going to lose my cool. But Manny came in and said, hey, you can't touch my guy.
I love
that. And then Profar gets hit and everyone, oh, is it intentional or not? He got hit. You gave warnings. Something should have happened. And then you run Shildt. So then Manny is right in this moment where everyone is really pissed off. Everyone is pissed off in that stadium. I'm freaking angry at home,
yeah.
3,000 miles away. First pitch, in the seats, take that and fill in your own expletives, okay?
Well, speaking of expletives, what Jackson Merrill said about it after was, that's how you effing lead. I'm not saying he had to hit homer, but right there off the bat,
no.
Effing first pitch, ready to go. That's how you effing lead right there. That's effing electric. I love this kid, too. I love this kid. You know, you hear when Manny was slumping a couple of weeks ago, All you heard was, oh, he's a terrible leader, terrible leader, terrible leader. And I'm like, man, he's clearly rubbed off on Jackson Merrill. He's clearly hitting the ball better. Maybe he's feeling better. We all kind of knew.
Right.
I kind of knew it's going to come. You know, he's got it in him. And I think the power is still going to come for Manny, hopefully this weekend. But I thought that was really special, man. The young.
I mean, it was.
Yeah.
It was by far the most electric moment of the season. I hope there are moments that will come close to that. But I don't think anything can surpass that in that moment. And look, Major League Baseball lives and dies on the margins of centimeters. A month ago, Manny gets that same pitch and fouls it back.
Yep.
He's just off a tick. That night, he was dialed in, saw it, hit it, and that shows that his work, his progress, is getting him closer to the player that all Padre fans remember and want to see again.
So, Major, now as the calendar switches to July, the trade deadline is coming up in a few weeks, and the Padres, like most teams right now, are going to be in the market for some help. They're not going to be able to afford everything, though. Starting pitching would be nice. Another bullpen arm would be nice. And with Tatis out, you know, for an extended period of time, Another bat would be nice. Assuming they can't do all of that, where's your priority lie as a Padres fan?
Look, I am stung. I have been stung the past 2 years by outsized expectations about the players we bring in changing things. And we have to look at Jackson Merrill and take pride in our player development. He's ours. We developed him. He's a star, already a star. Remember that. Not only is he a star, he's cheap, okay? We developed him himself. That's what you get. You don't have to give anything up. You don't have to pay huge free market ransom for a player like that. I don't want to say stand pat because that's not what A.J. Preller is going to do, but I don't want any of our remaining top prospects traded. I just don't. I want them to stay in the pipeline. I want them to believe in their process of player development and harvest them as we did Jackson Merrill. Watching C.J. Abrams reminded me of what a great player he is, how much this roster would be different. And let's be honest, when Bogarts and Tatis and Musgrove and Darvish come back, as we all hope they will, that'll be like making a trade.
Yeah, we hope. I mean, you know, I feel like I've delivered that line to our audience many times as well over the last couple of years. And you know, they bought on the margins last year. That didn't work out. I thought Scott Barlow was fine. But if you could find a way to grab another Scott Barlow, somebody like that that can shore up, you know, the back end-ish of your bullpen, I think that's okay. But when it comes to Salas and DeVries and the huge splashy move, I'm with you. I watched Leo Dallas the other day hit his first home run. We talked about it off the air. Pitch up in the zone. Dude, he hammered this thing and then had the emotion, looked at the dugout. Like, I was like, oh, that kid is 17 years old, 18 years old. I've watched Ethan Salas in person. And I thought to myself, no. We need to be patient with these guys. But honestly, after those two, I'm like, all right, we can continue to make moves as long as people.
But everyone's going to ask for those two.
I know.
Everyone's going to ask for those two.
I know.
And we just got to say, no, it's not happening.
Yeah,
it's
stand pat. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree with you 100%.
Major, really appreciate it. I know you've got a very busy schedule with everything that's going on, but I can tell that our listeners were extremely, extremely enthusiastic to hear from you this morning and appreciate your perspective. As always, it's a great one, and thank you so much for your time.
I'm always here for you guys.
Call thank you, brother. Time. Love you, man. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye. Great stuff with Major Garrett, as always, and really optimistic. A really positive outlook on where the Padres are at the halfway point of the season.
Yeah.
Sure. I think when he says, you get a better record than every team but the Phillies, Braves, Dodgers, you know, and Brewers, wouldn't we have all exactly signed up for that at the midway point of the season? Yes. I think that's 100% true.
You're also talking about a down Braves team, but that's okay. There's nothing you can do. You handle business against those guys.
I think the counter is, of course.
And the Brewers.
In 1 week, will they still have that record?
Correct.
Because they fluctuated. They've had that record, and then they've been behind a few other teams that they probably shouldn't be behind, given their talent level, where they are. Can they hold on to where they are? The positive momentum, what they have done this last week, can they finally just go through a stretch where you don't have to play like you've played the last 7 days all season long? No team is going to do that. Can you avoid giving it back, though? The 5-in-a-row losing streak, the 6 out of 7 to drop you back 3 games under .500. Can you just play over the next 10 games? You know, 5-5-4
is
fine.
You don't
have to go 9-1. You had a really nice stretch here. Just don't give it back as you go forward. Just give us some standard ball for a while. It's a road trip, you know. No one expects you to go 5-1, 6-0 to Boston and Texas. Try not 1-5 though. Please, don't swing the pendulum back the other way.
You're begging at this point.
Yeah, a little bit.
There's
a little bit of begging to it. Like, you know, I'm not. It's the old, you know, what's the parent? I'm not asking for that much here. I'm just asking for something very reasonable, and that is don't swing all the way back the other way this time, and just swing back to the middle. The pendulum just goes back right to the middle, not all the way. Not, you don't have to fall back to .500 every time you get above.
Right.
let's just hold on to some of these hard gotten gains over the last 7 days.
Yeah, man, and it's, you know, obviously it's easier said than done, and you're going up against a Boston team that's, they're hungry as well, and I think they're probably overachieving a little bit this season. You know, they're going to want to take it to you, and they've got good pitching, you know, so it's going to be an interesting series, you know, one that I absolutely hope we go into Fenway and take 2 out of 3. I think we're capable of it. I've not played well on the road recently, but we have played well on the road this season, and we've beaten good teams consistently. We really have. And so I like our chances as much as I always have, you know, which is to say they absolutely can have a really successful road trip.
It does worry me that the starting pitching depth can always unravel a season.
No question.
And the price tag for starting pitching is going to be high. It's going to be a top prospect, the kind of guy that Major Garrett doesn't want to give away at this point. So maybe you don't, and you just continue to roll the dice that Yu Darvish will come.
Welcome back, Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. I don't know where Benjamin is. He's maybe on the toilet or something. I have no idea, but let's get traffic, and then we'll get right to...
What is happening?
I have no idea. We'll get right to our pal Major Garrett, CBS News Chief White House Correspondent, next on 97.3 The Fan. All right, and joining us now, live from D.C., our pal, one of the biggest, if not the biggest, Padre fan we know, Major Garrett. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning. How is everybody?
Man, we are good. We are good. Just, you know, needed the night off last night. It's been a whirlwind around Petco Park the last few weeks.
I'm just laughing. You guys had a night off. I didn't have a night off.
No, last night was not a night off for you. I told the guys earlier, I said, I watched 5 minutes, and then I went and I watched Silence of the Lambs and felt I felt a little bit better about the future of our country.
Exactly. Or Full Metal Jacket or something.
Yeah, Full Metal Jacket, exactly. Exactly. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. You know, look, I think, probably where a lot of your audience is. I'm excited about where this team is. I mean, if you'd asked me at the beginning of the season, you don't have Darvish for most of the first half, you don't have Musgrove, you don't have Bogarts, and you've got 44 wins, same as the Braves, only two teams have more wins than the Padres, the Phillies, and the Dodgers, would you take that?
Yeah.
And I would say yes.
Good perspective.
Not to mention, dramatically better performance with runners in scoring position, dramatically better performance in close games, dramatically better performance in extra inning games, leading the major leagues in bunt base hits, not a statistic we typically celebrate, but one that's important about how you put pressure on another team. I like where we are. I really do.
Good morning, Major. It is good to talk to you as always. My question to you is, has Mike Shildt been what you've expected he was going to be as the Padres manager?
Better.
Okay.
Better. I fully expected that he would be rigorous on preparation process and team unity. And he has been. What I have been very surprised on the upside with is not only his ability to put that in the clubhouse, translate that from the clubhouse to the field, and then talk to the Padre public about why it's working and not to freak out when you feel like freaking out, because all of us are traumatized by the memories of last year. I know Bob Melvin is a very respected and accomplished manager. I don't want to take anything away from him, but Shildt has a more positive and more direct explanation for what he's doing, why he believes it will work, and why he's not going to be deterred. And for a fan base, I think that's super important. It's not only important for the fan base, it's important for the players to know that the manager has their back and will talk to the public about what's going on in a way that supports them, reinforces them, and is credible. And I think Shildt's very good at all those things.
You know, and it's funny, talking to Major Garrett here, I try. We have him on every Friday. And I try to get him to say, I'm not asking him to be negative or throw one of his guys under the bus, but I will try to get him to say, just, yeah, we could improve in that area. He won't do it.
And anything critical.
Anything critical. I do understand the reasoning behind it. And I think Padre fans, a lot of them do as well. You've seen this clubhouse, you know, splinter the last couple of seasons. You've seen, you know, the like everything fall apart and they go off a cliff, I kind of understand the reasoning of, nope, not going to do it. I'm going to pat these guys on the butt. I'm going to pat them on the back, especially in public. We don't know what's going on behind closed doors, certainly. We're not privy to that, and he's not going to share it, and Manny won't share it, and Jerkson won't share it. They're really tight-lipped this year. That's one thing I have noticed. You're not hearing any whispers coming out of, this guy's mad at this guy. I find that it's quite the opposite.
Quite the opposite, but I thought Jerickson Profar gave a very important interview to Kevin Acey last week before the Padres got on their good run. And he said the team needs to play better. The team needs to have more leadership and execute better and win winnable games. Profar said that as an emerging team leader. He wouldn't have said it if he didn't believe that Manny would back him up on that and Mike Shildt was okay with that. It's better when the players give that kind of interview, particularly a all-star caliber player, as Jerickson Profar undoubtedly is this season, having him say it and having no one in the clubhouse refute it or talk behind his back or anyone go to Shildt and say, what do you think about that? It all felt consistent, even though it was, at the margins, critical of how the Padres came off that road trip, deservedly so. That's another dynamic that I think is important and reinforces that this team, for whatever set of reasons, and a lot of it comes to the manager, a lot of it flows to the players, is a much more coherent unit, much more collaborative unit. And look, success reinforces that. You get walk-off wins, you suddenly feel things are possible. You watch other teams walk you off, you start wondering if anything is possible. We've turned the corner on that.
Major, we also all tended to agree that Manny had a big leadership moment when he stepped in with Jerickson, you know, behind home plate with Keibert Ruiz. And I don't know if there's any talk of the other side of this. People are curious, you know, in Washington, D.C., you've got a bunch of things going on, probably other than listening to sports talk radio or commentary on what happened this week. But it felt like a perhaps at least a defining moment for this clubhouse and for Manny Machado in particular as well. What happened against the Washington Nationals earlier this week?
So Nats fans, and I sort of dip in and out of that world. I'm a nominal Nats fan because my kids grew up here in D.C. and I freed them. I said, you have a hometown team. It's a great thing in life is to be able to root for your hometown baseball team. I'm raising you as Padre fans. I'm now releasing you. We didn't have a ceremony, but I kind of communicated that to them, you know. So I dip in and out of the Nats. Nats fans are not big on Keibert Ruiz. They don't think he's a strong defensive catcher. Offensively, he's kind of a wash. And they thought he stepped way out of his lane. And I, for one, do not understand how an umpire in the major leagues can watch a player touch another player at home plate and not throw him out immediately. You cannot do that under any circumstance. You cannot take your mask off, get another player's face, and start poking him in the chest. Why is he still in the game?
Yeah.
And that's why Manny came up, because he saw Jerickson was doing the thing he told everyone afterwards. I'm not going to get thrown out of this game. I'm not going to lose my cool. But Manny came in and said, hey, you can't touch my guy.
I love
that. And then Profar gets hit and everyone, oh, is it intentional or not? He got hit. You gave warnings. Something should have happened. And then you run Shildt. So then Manny is right in this moment where everyone is really pissed off. Everyone is pissed off in that stadium. I'm freaking angry at home.
Yeah.
3,000 miles away. First pitch. In the seats. Take that and fill in your own expletives. Okay?
Well, speaking of expletives, what Jackson Merrill said about it after was, that's how you effing lead. I'm not saying he had to hit homer, but right there off the bat,
no.
Effing first pitch, ready to go. That's how you effing lead right there. That's effing electric. I love this kid, too. I love this kid. You know, you hear when Manny was slumping a couple of weeks ago, all you heard was, oh, he's a terrible leader, terrible leader, terrible leader. And I'm like, man, he's clearly rubbed off on Jackson Merrill. He's clearly hitting the ball better. Maybe he's feeling better. We all kind of knew.
Right.
I kind of knew it's going to come. You know, he's got it in him. And I think the power is still going to come for Manny, hopefully this weekend. But I thought that was really special, man. The young.
I mean, it was.
Yeah.
It was by far the most electric moment of the season. I hope there are moments that will come close to that. But I don't think anything can surpass that in that moment. And look, Major League Baseball lives and dies on the margins of centimeters, A month ago, Manny gets that same pitch and fouls it back.
Yep.
He's just off a tick. That night, he was dialed in, saw it, hit it, and that shows that his work, his progress, is getting him closer to the player that all Padre fans remember and want to see again.
So, Major, now as the calendar switches to July, the trade deadline is coming up in a few weeks, and the Padres, like most teams right now, are going to be in the market for some help. They're not going to be able to afford everything, though. Starting pitching would be nice. Another bullpen arm would be nice. And with Tatis out, you know, for an extended period of time, another bat would be nice. Assuming they can't do all of that, where's your priority lie as a Padres fan?
Look, I am stung. I have been stung the past 2 years by outsized expectations about the players we bring in changing things. And we have to look at Jackson Merrill and take pride in our player development. He's ours. We developed him. He's a star, already a star. Remember that. Not only is he a star, he's cheap, okay? We developed him himself. That's what you get. You don't have to give anything up. You don't have to pay huge free market ransom for a player like that. I don't want to say stand pat because that's not what A.J. Preller is going to do, but I don't want any of our remaining top prospects traded. I just don't. I want them to stay in the pipeline. I want them to believe in their process of player development and harvest them as we did Jackson Merrill. Watching C.J. Abrams reminded me of what a great player he is, how much this roster would be different. And let's be honest, when Bogarts and Tatis and Musgrove and Darvish come back, as we all hope they will, that'll be like making a trade.
Yeah, we hope. I mean, you know, I feel like I've delivered that line to our audience many times as well over the last couple of years. And you know, they bought on the margins last year. That didn't work out. I thought Scott Barlow was fine. But if you could find a way to grab another Scott Barlow, somebody like that that can shore up, you know, the back end-ish of your bullpen, I think that's okay. But when it comes to Salas and DeVries and the huge splashy move, I'm with you. I watched Leo Dallas the other day hit his first home run. We talked about it off the air. Pitch up in the zone. Dude, he hammered this thing and then had the emotion, looked at the dugout. Like, I was like, oh, that kid is 17 years old, 18 years old. I've watched Ethan Salas in person. And I thought to myself, no. We need to be patient with these guys. But honestly, after those two, I'm like, all right, we can continue to make moves as long as people.
But everyone's going to ask for those two.
I know.
Everyone's going to ask for those two.
I know.
And we just got to say, no, it's not happening.
Yeah,
it's
stand pat. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree with you 100%.
Major, really appreciate it. I know you've got a very busy schedule with everything that's going on, but I can tell that our listeners were extremely, extremely enthusiastic to hear from you this morning and appreciate your perspective. As always, it's a great one, and thank you so much for your time.
I'm always here for you guys.
Thank you, brother. Love you, man. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Great stuff with Major Garrett, as always, and really optimistic. A really positive outlook on where the Padres are at the halfway point of the season.
Yeah.
Sure. I think when he says, you know, you get a better record than every team but the Phillies, Braves, Dodgers, you know, and Brewers, wouldn't we have all exactly signed up for that at the midway point of the season? Yes. I think that's 100% true.
You're also talking about a down Braves team, but that's okay. There's nothing you can do. You handle business against those guys.
I think the counter is, of course.
And the Brewers.
In 1 week, will they still have that record?
Correct.
Because they fluctuated. They've had that record, and then they've been behind a few other teams that they probably shouldn't be behind, given their talent level, where they are. Can they hold on to where they are? The positive momentum, what they have done this last week, can they finally just go through a stretch where you don't have to play like you've played the last 7 days all season long? No team is going to do that. Can you avoid giving it back, though? The 5-in-a-row losing streak, the 6 out of 7 to drop you back 3 games under .500. Can you just play over the next 10 games? You know, 5-5-4
sure.
is fine. You don't,
it's absolutely
you don't
fine.
Have to go 9-1. You had a really nice stretch here. Just don't give it back as you go forward. Just give us some standard ball for a while. It's a road trip, you know. No one expects you to go 5-1, 6-0 to Boston and Texas. Try not 1-5, though. Please. For the, you know, just please. Here, don't swing the pendulum back the other way.
You're begging at this point.
Yeah, a little bit. There's a little bit of begging to it. Like, you know, I'm not... It's the old, you know, what's the parent? I'm not asking for that much here. I'm just asking for something very reasonable, and that is don't swing all the way back the other way this time. And just swing back to the middle. The pendulum just goes back right to the middle. Not all the way. You don't have to fall back to 500 every time you get above.
Right.
Let's just hold on to some of these hard gotten gains over the last 7 days.
Yeah, man, and it's, you know, obviously it's easier said than done. And you're going up against a Boston team they're hungry as well. And I think they're probably overachieving a little bit this season. You know, they're going to want to take it to you. And they've got good pitching, you know. So it's going to be an interesting series. You know, one that I absolutely hope we go into Fenway and take 2 out of 3. I think we're capable of it. I've not played well on the road recently, but we have played well on the road this season. And we've beaten good teams consistently. We really have. I like our chances as much as I always have, you know, which is to say they absolutely can have a really successful road trip.
It does worry me that the starting pitching depth can always unravel a season.
No question.
And the price tag for starting pitching is going to be high. It's going to be a top prospect, the kind of guy that Major Garrett doesn't want to give away at this point. So maybe you don't, and you just continue to roll the dice that Yu Darvish will come back. Hopefully within the next couple of weeks. We don't know if that's true or not. Hopefully Joe Musgrove will come back at some point in the next month and a half or two. We don't know that that's true. I do remember what happened in 2021. Nothing can unravel a decent season faster than all of a sudden realizing we only have two quality starting pitchers. And the rest of the time, we are just throwing someone out on the mound and hoping the rest of the week. We saw what happened in 2021 when they did that. Is there depth? Is there enough there that if they don't make a move, that they can survive for the rest of the season?
I think the answer is no. I think the answer is a hard,
so you need bullpen and starting pitching.
You really do. And I think it can be found.
The price tag is going up now.
I think it can be found. I really do. I think it can be found.
It would really help if about three or four teams went on a losing streak and felt like we're sellers now, as opposed to just the small handful of teams that are currently offering players, because that really makes it hard even for the creative AJ Preller to pull off a good deal. Because there are so many teams that want pitching and there are so few teams that are offering pitching. The price tags are going to be exorbitant right now. And I don't want to pay exorbitant price tags for mediocre players, for buying on the margins. You know, they've pulled off two really big moves already.
I know.
Probably smart to do them early.
100%.
100%. But now it's going to be even tougher, I think, to bring an impact player in at this point of the season.
It is. It's going to be tough for every team, and there's going to be a lot of teams, you know, ripping the phones right now looking for the help that they need as well. So we did traffic. We're good. Yeah, we're all set.
Sorry.
That's all right.
In the restroom for a little while.
Right. How'd that go?
It's fine. I'm good now.
You got the trots?
No, I'm okay. It was fine. Well, all right. It's a fast break, it felt like.
No, it was regular.
You did a good job. That's what a president does. Appreciate that. Stepping up, filling your duties.
Was that what you were doing? Was filling your duties?
President of Ben.
In there?
No, I was clearing them.
All right.
Life is good.
Life is very good. Just waiting on that music to start.
Do we still have another 30 seconds before the start of the music? I'm good on the clock. I'm better than you on clocksmanship.
Still don't know the clock.
When it comes to the show.
You're right.
That's all right. Okay, coming up in our next hour, we'll have some Take on Woods, chance to qualify for that trip to Las Vegas. Fontainebleau, really good prize this month. Concert tickets, $150 poolside dining credit for while you're there. That's coming up in our next segment. Don't Do This is going to be along as well. I know power rankings don't mean anything, but I thought there was some interesting insight from the ESPN crew on the Padres that came out yesterday that I want to talk about in our 7:35 segment.
Yeah, and I sent Paulie some audio yesterday of Mark DeRosa talking about the Padres as well on MLB Network.
I'm always curious what other people are saying about our team.
Mark DeRosa is like one of our biggest cheerleaders. I like him. We should get him on the show.
All right, that's coming up in our next hour of Ben and Woods. Don't go anywhere. It's San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.